Okay, welcome everyone. This is episode 372 of the Divine Intervention Podcast. To be honest with you, this is probably going to be one of my shortest podcasts ever. The reason I'm making this podcast is I saw some person ask a question on Reddit, like, how do I know about the, like, what's with the progestin challenge test or the estrogen progestin challenge test? They're like, okay, I don't understand these tests and all that stuff. So we're just going to talk about those tests in this podcast, and then that'll be it. So it should be a short podcast, you know, kind of cap off the weekend. Just real quick thing I would say, if you're taking your USMLE Step 2 CK or Step 3 or Complex Level 2 or 3 exams, within the next 3 to 4 weeks here, I'll encourage you to sign up for the MBME Test Taking Strategies course that is going to be taking place on Monday, actually like 3 days from now, from 2 to 4:30 p.m. Mountain Time. I also have the 24-hour review course for Step 2 CK Step 3 taking place from next week, Tuesday to Friday, from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, tons of people have attended these courses. Tons of people have done extremely well on the exams. The course is going to be held over Zoom. And then if you're taking Step 2 CK in the summer, I have a Step 2 CK school. I call it the DISC school. It's taking place in the first 2 weeks of May. There's a 40% cap on that because it's going to be a very involved school, right? If you're very serious about crushing your exams, that's a school you want to attend in the summer. So let's go ahead and jump right into it, right? So the thing is, to be honest with you, this progestin challenge test or the estrogen progestin challenge test, right? This is something that the MBME cares about, but in the real world, not many people, if anyone, really does this test. To be honest with you, I've not really seen anyone do this test in my entire career as a physician, right? But it's one of those things that kind of like the Schilling's test for B12 deficiency, to localize the lesion. It's almost like a localized lesion test. The MBMEs, one of the best, easiest ways for them to test physiology is just to see if you can localize lesions, right? So the thing is, whenever there's a localized lesion test, like a provocative test or anything like that, the MBMEs love you to know those things, even if they are no longer clinically relevant. So let's talk about the progestin challenge test. Who do we do it in? Well, the thing is, we're going to do this test in a person that has amenorrhea. That is like the first thing I want you to understand. You do these tests in people that have amenorrhea, right? So the thing is, there are two kinds of these tests you can do. You can do the progestin challenge test, or you can do the estrogen progestin challenge test. The first rule I want you to understand is that you always do the progestin challenge test first. That's very high you to know and understand. You always do the progestin challenge test first. If the progestin challenge test does not give you, the thing is, whenever you do any of these tests, you're trying to look for, oh, after I stop this agent, does the person bleed, right? So if you do the progestin challenge test and you notice that the person does not bleed, then you proceed sequentially to step two, which is the estrogen progestin challenge test. The thing is, to understand these challenge tests, you just need to, they're actually pretty simple, but they're a little complex, but they're also pretty simple. The thing is, if you can understand it from the perspective that, oh, whenever you're doing a challenge test, you're trying to figure out if this is the deficiency that a person has, then you're going to be pretty much set. Let me explain. I just said that the progestin challenge test is something you do first. Okay. Well, if you're doing a progestin challenge test, you're doing a test where you're giving a person progestin, then you're wondering, is the cause of this person's anovulation? Is the cause of this person's amenorrhea the fact that they are anovulating, meaning that they are not ovulating? Because if you think about it, if you look at the menstrual cycle, the first thing that happens is you're going to have the follicular phase where you're producing a ton of estrogen. That's going to build up the endometrial cavity. And then after that, you have the LH surge, right? The ovaries essentially explode and you shoot out an egg. That's ovulation, right? Ovulation. When you ovulate and form the egg, the remnant of the egg is what is going to be called the corpus luteum, okay? It's going to be called the corpus luteum. It's that corpus luteum that then produces progestin that then makes it possible for us to protect the endometrial cavity and convert it from proliferative endometrium to secretory endometrium. So if you have anovulation, if you don't ovulate, everything in the menstrual cycle, you do it just fine. You make estrogen, everything is great for the follicular phase, but everything afterwards does not work. Because if you don't ovulate and ovulation, right? If you don't ovulate, then you don't form the corpus luteum. Then you don't make progestin, right? So the thing is, if you do a progestin challenge test, the way it's done is you give a person progestin, right? And then you, for a few days, you then stop the progestin. Usually about 2 to 7 days after you've stopped the progestin, those people should have a withdrawal bleed, right? But if you notice that, I give this person progestin, give them for a few days, stop it, and then wait 2 to 7 days, and I notice that, this person just bleeds. then that means by giving that progestin, you fulfilled a need for progestin that their body had. You gave them back progestin, right? So that tells you that, that means the problem that is causing this person's amenorrhea is because they did not make progestin. And if you walk your way backwards and localize the lesion, if the person was not making progestin, then that means that they probably did not ovulate, right? So that means an ovulation, right? So a classic disorder like PCOS will be one where you do the progestin challenge test, right? And you withdraw that progestin and you notice that the person bleeds, right? So an ovulation is the very first thing you should think about when they tell you on MBME exams that a person's progestin challenge test is positive, right? And again, it's positive when you have a withdrawal bleed. Now, if you notice that, wow, you give this progestin in the progestin challenge test, and the person, you give the progestin, you withdrew it after 2 to 7 days, and you notice that, wow, the person did not bleed. That tells you something. That tells you that it is not just the progestin deficiency that is causing the problem. It is an estrogen deficiency that is causing the problem. Okay? It is an estrogen deficiency that is causing the problem. So in that case, you're going to proceed sequentially, right, to the next step, which is the estrogen progestin challenge test, right? The way you do that test is you give estrogen first. You're essentially trying to simulate the menstrual cycle. You give the estrogen first. After you give the estrogen, right, you then give progestin. And then after giving the progestin, you withdraw it and wait for 2 to 7 days to see what happens, right? If you notice that the person has a withdrawal bleed, then that means, oh, wow, okay. I gave progestin alone initially, nothing happened. But then I give estrogen, and then I give progestin, and then I withdrew it, and I see this withdrawal bleed. And that tells you that it's a hypoestrogen state that caused the person's problem. Okay, so what are the hypoestrogen states that can cause these problems? Well, think about if you have Turner syndrome, right? If your ovaries don't work, streak ovaries, right? You're not making any estrogen, right? Or if you have like a hypothalamic pituitary axis problem, like Common syndrome, for example, where you're not making GnRH, right? Obviously, if you don't make GnRH, you won't make FSH, LH, and you won't make estrogen. All those things will all cause a low estrogen state, right? So whenever they do an estrogen progestin challenge test and you notice that, wow, okay, the person then has a withdrawal bleed, then that tells you that the person has a low estrogen and progestin issue that is causing their problems. That's actually very high yield to know. It tells you it's a hypoestrogen state. But now to take this even further, what if you do the progestin challenge test, you see no withdrawal bleed? You do the estrogen progestin challenge test, you see no withdrawal bleed. And what does that tell you? That tells you that the person has either a problem that is intrinsic to the uterus, where the uterus doesn't work, like Asherman syndrome, or they have like an outflow tract problem, right? Like a problem where, for whatever reason, even if they are forming everything, the endometrium is good and everything, they're not able to get out that blood, right, from those menses. They're not able to get those things out, right? That tells you you're dealing with an outflow tract problem. To be honest with you, I will say for ease, purposes of ease, think of Asherman syndrome as being two problems rolled into one. One, you have a problem with the endometrial cavity itself where it cannot respond to estrogen. And two, you also have an outflow tract problem because there's a lot of like, I almost think of it as having strictures in your uterus, right? Asherman syndrome, right? And again, remember, Asherman syndrome is something you get with people that have multiple recurrent deletions and curettages. So I think I'm going to go ahead and stop here. So I really hope that this makes sense to you, right? Again, in summary, if the progestin challenge test and you get a withdrawal bleed, that tells you that an ovulation was the cause of the person's amenorrhea. If you don't get a withdrawal bleed, then that tells you that, okay, this person has an estrogen problem that is causing it. And there are many causes of estrogen problems, as I highlighted in this podcast. And if you notice that you do the progestin challenge test, and then you do the estrogen progestin challenge test, and you get no withdrawal bleed from any of those tests, then that tells you that you have an outflow tract problem, right? That your endometrium is not responding to stimulation by hormones, or you have an outflow tract problem like transverse vaginal septum or imperforate hymen that's causing any of those things, right? So these tests are very easy to understand, right? Again, you just need to understand the physiology, right? Many times when people say, oh, I'm confused by something, it's usually just a problem with understanding. So thank you for listening. Again, I offer tutoring for all the USMLE exams. I offer review courses for Step 2 CK and Step 3 and Complex Level 2 and 3. In fact, I have courses taking place next week. And by the way, if you're a person that is just starting out your third year and you want to get good at test taking strategies for your MBME shelf exams, my MBME test taking strategies course is also something that would help you. And then I have these podcasts on all the major podcast apps. I have a YouTube channel, right? Divine Intervention USMLE podcasts and videos. And then I also have a website called DivineInterventionLifeLessons.com. There are now 60 episodes on there where I just post short podcasts, 10 to 15 minute podcasts on life lessons. Many of them are Bible based. So thank you for listening to me. Have a wonderful weekend and God bless you. I'll see you next week. Thank you. Bye for now.